119. We'll be about halfway through by the end tonight, Lord willing. Psalm 119 tonight. Of course, the chapter is all about the Word of God, and we can rejoice and be thankful for the Word of God and what all the Word of God does. And we study that in the first 24 verses, what the Word of God does. Verses 25 to 48, what the Word of God brings. And then we studied last week, 49, or the week before, verses 49 to 64, how the Word of God secures. And that brings us to verses 65 to verse 80 tonight. Lord willing, we'll get through those. And I've titled this, How the Word of God Corrects. How the Word of God Corrects Us. We're going to study just how the Word of God corrects us. And by corrects us, I mean how it changes us, how it betters us, how it molds us, how it fashions us, how it does all these things. And the Word of God will do these things when we let it. When we allow the Word of God to work into our life, it will mold us. It will correct us for the better. It will transform us and fashion us into something that God wants. The psalmist here in this passage, we started studying the first part of it last week, and it continues here in these verses. He's obviously going through a difficult time. And I think all of us can agree that circumstances in life, even when our faith is in Christ, they wear on us. If we allow it, it can make us most miserable people. Even the most committed believer, when we allow the trials of life to get to us, it can make us miserable. I read a quote this week, which I thought went with the message very well. It says this, talking about these trials that Christians go through. Yet, as the constant washing of waters smooth the pebbles, and constant wearing of sand rounds the ragged edges of even the roughest rocks, so the adversities we face do their work in polishing and refining us. And that's very true. We may go through difficult times and times that are not fun, but it is molding us into what God wants. And here in these verses, and starting in verse number 65, I'll throw a key word at you as you see in these verses. Find it a few times. You'll see it in verse number 67, the word afflicted. Verse 69, you see people had forged a lie against him. In verse number 71, he was afflicted. In verse 75, in faithfulness, God had allowed affliction upon him. People had, in verse number 78, dealt perversely with him. I mean, he was going through affliction. He was going through a difficult time. Now, how did he allow the Word of God to get him through these difficult times? And real quick, it's an encouraging message tonight, I hope. In verse number 65, we'll start first with a word of testimony. He gives a testimony. He says, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. He gives a quick word of testimony that even, now obviously he's looking back what the affliction was and how he had gone through it, but he's able to look back and say that, you know, even when things seemed to be all going wrong, God was still in control, and what God allowed was good. What God allowed was for my betterment. It's like the hymn we'll sing at times, It is well with my soul. No matter what we face, we can't have faith that God, He's only allowing good things to happen to us. Now, it may not be good in our eyes to go through it, but God is working it. All things work together for what? For good, to them that love God. When we love the Lord and we're submitted to His purpose, God can take situations and use them for His good. Even bad situations, God can use them for His good. And He says here in this verse to start out, He's given a testimony. Here's the foundation of all that He's about to express and going through affliction, that in looking back on it, He knows that God meant it for good. And that reminds us, of course, of an Old Testament character by the name of Joseph. Think of all the bad things that happened to Joseph. Joseph went through a lot of rough times as his brothers forsook him. They really wanted to kill him. If it wasn't for an older brother some traitors going by, they probably would have killed him. But they betrayed him. They sold him into slavery. He's made a slave into Egypt, which was not a great place to live. Then he's made into one of the captain of the guards homes there. And of course, we know what happened with that man's wife and the temptation that she sent his way, and how he stood for right and did not give in to temptation. And what happens? He's lied about. He's thrown into prison. He spends more time in prison. He helps two of Pharaoh's men there in prison, a butler and a baker, with the promise that as soon as they get out, one of them, that they are going to remember him and mention him to Pharaoh, which he didn't. He forgot about him. He sat in prison longer. Finally, the Pharaoh had a dream, and he remembered all of a sudden, and they sent for Joseph, and Joseph comes, and what happens? He ends up second in all the land of Egypt. His brothers come back needing food, and he's in a position now to save his family, to protect his family. And Joseph used these words: "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And there's sometimes we're going to go through things that the world means it for evil. Satan means it for evil. Even people can mean it for evil. But we give it to God and just trust Him in it. God can use it for good. Trust the Lord. It's a word of testimony. I guarantee this to each one of us tonight, that God will not fail us. And the Scriptures are sure. So you have here a quick word of testimony. Then in verses 66 to 68, we get into what he was going through. You see his wish for teaching. He wanted to be taught. And by the way, when we go through trials, we ought to, when we head right into the affliction, one of the first things we ought to do is say, "All right, I recognize this is a problem. This is a trial. This is affliction. God, teach me." If we'll look for the teaching, God will show it to us. One comfort that I've had in the last few weeks is in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 1. I'll read it to you real quick. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, God's used this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse number 3. And we'll go right back to Psalm, but it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father," in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, "of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Now listen to what Paul says, "who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." You know what Paul said there and how the Lord spoke to me is this, that, you know, we will go through trials, but our God is a God of comfort. Our God, if we will draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to us. And through the middle of our affliction, our God is faithful. He'll comfort us. And not only comfort us, but if we're open to it, He will teach us. And He will, in our comfort, give us knowledge and teaching so that we will be able to help others in days ahead. That's what God wants to do with our trials. To teach us so that we can help others in days ahead. Now, looking straight at you, it doesn't make it easier to go through it. But if we will find ourselves surrendering to God, and as the psalmist back in our psalm, wanting God to teach us through it, God will. You see in verse 66, back in Psalm 119, just what he expressed. He said, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." He wanted to be taught. He wanted discretion. He knew everything that he was looking for could be found in the Word of God. "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." You know, every once in a while, when we're going through trials, we need to stop and say the same thing to ourselves and to the Lord. Say, what is that? "God, I believe your word. I trust you, and I believe your word." Because, you know, we're going through trials. Our mind, if you're like me, I try to think of the 1,001 scenarios of what can happen at the end of this trial I'm going through. That's the way my mind works. It could happen this way, it could go this way, it could go this way. And I'm trying to figure things out, and I'm trying to handle it. And many times I have to stop Travis Burke and say, "All right, shut your mouth." I just looked at God and said, "God, teach me. I believe your word. I trust you. And if we will spend more time saying that to ourselves and to God, and less time trying in our human wisdom to figure things out, and not to lean on our own understandings, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, He'll give you a peace. He'll direct your path. And here he's expressing this. You know, he says, Lord, I believe thy commandments. I like that at the end. I believe thy commandments. We ought to be able to say that to God every day. I believe your commandments. I believe your word. You know what? I found this to be true. You know who we listen to in life? Those that we believe. We really don't listen to people we don't believe. You ever been around? When a politician gets up? Yeah, whatever. Right? They ain't look you, straight in the eye and say, this is what I'm going to stand for. Yeah. I mean, most people were like, we don't really believe them. You ever had somebody that, I hope not, but we've probably all known a few that they have a hard time telling the truth, and they fabricate about every story and make it 10 times better than what it really is, just to make, it more exciting or something. And when they're talking, you're just like, yeah, in the back of your mind, if you were given a quiz over what they just told you, you'd probably fail every time because you weren't really listening. We don't listen to people we don't believe. If we believe God, we'll be listening to Him. When we say, God, I believe your commandments, God, I trust your word. In the middle of our trial, what we're doing then? We're listening for God. And God's going to show us. God will give us. If some politician walked in here and said, I'm going to tell you what I stand for, probably won't listen. But if my grandpa were to say, son, let me tell you something you need to remember, I'm all ears. I believe Him. I trust Him. How much more should we look to God? What He expressed in verse number 67, what He experienced. Look what it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. And he kind of gives an experience that he went through. First he makes this confession. I went astray. That's what it says. He had drifted away. He said, well, shame on him. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us have gone astray. Every one of us, by the way, every one of us need at times some affliction in our life that God is using to put us back on the path we need to be on. We all need that. Every one of us need that. And he makes this confession. He said, I went astray. He recognized there in that verse that he had drifted at some point. You know what, by the way, going astray is like the picture like drifting in a boat. I love going fishing. I love going to Lake Erie. And one of the best things to do is go somewhere where the fish are. And you just drift. And when you're fishing, you don't even realize. They'll say, well, we've drifted, 100 yards southeast or something. Really? To me, we're in the same spot we started. All right? But then you look back and you actually drive back to where you started from and you're amazed how far you had drifted. You didn't realize it. Just the undercurrent and things like that and the wind blowing, you drift. You don't realize it. Us in our Christian life, a lot of times we're drifting. We don't realize it. A lot of times we're just out there doing our thing, serving God, and we don't even realize just how far we've gone astray from what's right. I mean, we find ourselves, and all of a sudden, God uses some affliction in our life to open our eyes, and then we look back and say, well, that's where I'm supposed to be standing, and we see, wow, look how far I went astray. Every one of us are guilty of that. All we like sheep have gone astray. And he makes this confession. Then you see his conversion there, how he used it. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted. God had to use this trial in his life to get him back on course to where he ought to be. And a lot of times God will allow these things into our life and these afflictions will come because God needs us to get to our senses. To see just how far we've strayed. To stop going down the wrong path. So he's here before, and that's the key in that, before I was afflicted, it took that affliction. For him to see that. And then you see his consecration in that verse. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. He realized, he saw it, and he says, now after going through the affliction. That's why you can say in verse 65, the Lord's dealt well with him. Because now he looks back and says, having gone through it, you know what? I needed it. God corrected me. And I see now the Word of God. And I am going to stand on the Word of God. If you're going through a trial tonight, say to yourself every day, if you have to, every hour, if you have to, every 2 minutes, I am going to hold to God's Word. I am going to stay true to God. So you see what he expressed and what he experienced in verse 68, what he expected. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. I'll just throw this because we got to keep going, but I'll give this to you real quick. You know what he basically said? Our God is a good God. And everything he does is good. No matter what my flesh may think what God's doing, God is good. And all we need to do is learn to trust him, because the afflictions he allows is making us more like him. So word of testimony, then he's a wish for teaching. Then in verse 69 to 71, you see his way in testing. This is how it went when the testing came into his life. First, you see some lies were said about him in verse number 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Now, I don't know exactly the scenario. None of us do. We don't know what human man God used to pen these words. We do not know what lie was being said here, but we do know this. This man was being attacked. His character was being lied about. And how did he respond? A lot of us, if we were being lied about and our character was being attacked, I know how I would respond in my flesh. My flesh would want to attack back. My flesh would want to, you know, worry all night and do all these things, but that's not how he responded. He responded in this, and here's a great way to respond when these things happen, and it will happen. I'll keep thy precepts with my whole heart. You know what he said? I don't care what lies are being said. And whether it's someone lying about you, whether it is someone lying to you, no matter what it is, what we need to say to ourselves in those times is this: I'm just going to keep God's word. I'm going to stay true to the word of God. So you see, those that attacked him there with lies and just plain old wickedness. In verse number 70, it's in one of those verses you read and you say, did that really say that? And you read it again. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. You know what that means? Their heart is as fat as grease. It means their wicked heart is just overloaded with carnality. If you want to alliterate it, they were lies, and then their lewdness. They were just wicked. And many times you're going to look out there at the world, and you're going to see a lot of wickedness. And they may point a finger in scorn. They may laugh. They may try to derail you. They may try to point their finger. But you know what? They'll say, hey, look how much fun we're having. The world will say, man, look, their heart's as fat as grease. I mean, they're, like I said in chapel this morning, fat and sassy. Man, they're just living life to its fullest. They're living life and fulfilling the lusts of their flesh and saying, it's great, having a great time, partying all the time. Man, you don't know what you're missing out on. Well, he had the best answer. He said, you can delight in that stuff. I delight in thy law. And like I said this morning to a bunch of kids, give it 10 years. Give it 10 years. There may be the world will look at you and say, man, we're having a great time. But give it 10 years. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Give it some time. Let's just love the Word of God. So you see, those that attacked him, then you see the affliction there in verse number 71. It is good for me that I've been afflicted. Now, when you're going through the trial, it's hard to say that, isn't it? Man, when the doctor comes in and gives you a bad report, it's hard to say that. When 3 o'clock in the morning, some policeman's on the phone giving you some bad news, it's hard to say that. It's difficult when you're going through it, but if you'll just cling to God and trust His Word, we too will be able to look back in verse 71 and all of us join with him saying, it was good. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? Why did God allow it? That I might learn thy statutes. So we would learn to be more like him. So our life would be bettered. Sometimes it's hard to say it. Believe me, I know. But if we'll trust the Lord, I've got the promise of God's word that we can look back and say, you know what? It was good for me. And I'd venture to say, if there's folks that's been here saved for a while, you can share testimonies probably in your life of things that you have gone through that was difficult to go through, and now looking back, it was good. Not that you're wanting to jump back in the same scenario, but it was good. God used it. I mean, I don't know, my sister Crystal, if she was here, she would testify. I don't know how many people she's been able to encourage and point to the Lord and see get saved because of what Zachary has gone through. I guarantee you, she would not want to go through it again. But she can look back and say, you know what? It was good. People have been saved. People have been helped. And we can say that in verse 71. Those afflictions come. So the way in testing. Then you see his wealth of treasure in verse number 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. You know, when we trust the Lord, what we're going to realize? That there's nothing more valuable in trials than the Word of God. You know, when I was growing up, my mom would tell me at times, if money can fix the problem, it really isn't a problem. Now, at times when we go through it, it is in our flesh a problem. But you know what? There's a whole lot more important things than mammon in the world and money. I mean, if you offered me to lose every possession I have or to see my son be raised for the Lord, you can have every possession. I choose to see my son and daughters raised for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you go through trials and you trust the Lord, what you end up seeing is, you know what? There's nothing greater than this book. Money might temporarily fix things, but God's Word fixes things forever. So you have this wealth of treasure. Then in the last part in verses 73 to 80, combine these because you see his will of triumph. He was willed. He was going to be victorious. And there were three things. There were three things that he was going to point to as how he could be victorious. Number one, verses 73 to 75, it's the Lord's hands. The Lord's hands. Let's read these verses. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. He first refers to the hands of God. And in doing so, in verse 73, he talks about how those hands had made him. And we're not going to preach on that tonight, but ought to be an easy amen point, be able to encourage us a little bit. Our God is our Creator. Amen. If our God created us, He knows what we need. He knows how we think. He knows what our desires are. He knows what we're going through. He knows how we function. He knows everything about us because He's our Creator. What power it took to create man. And not just that, but what purpose He gave to us. That's what it says in verse 73. Thy hands have made me, that is the power of God, and fashioned me. He created us in His image. He created us with a purpose. So what is that purpose? The book of Revelation says it this way, that we are created for His pleasure. Now, if you keep that in mind, it makes it a little bit easier when we're going through trials. God, if this is what you want, I'll trust you in it. Trust God. These hands, they made him. These hands in verse 74, they motivate him. He realized that the hands of God is what formed him and fashioned him, and that he could realize he could trust in this God. And in verse number 74, it motivates him because he knows that there are people watching. He says, they that fear thee, those are good people, will be glad when they see me, because I hoped in thy word. You know what that means? That there are people who are going to need the encouragement of this man who saw God faithful. There may be other people you see as a church that are going through trials, that are going through heartaches. And you can see that with your eye, know the comfort of God, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and how it helps you, and you can go to them, other people who fear God, and be a great encouragement to them. One of the greatest examples I can give to that is someone who did that. Mrs. Morganson was wonderful for that. She had gone through many, many, many trials. And there were other people in the church who would lose a child or go through a trial, and she would go and she'd sit down next to them. And if you didn't know much about Miss Morganson, she didn't involve much in other people's lives, but when she saw people hurting that she related to, she always tried to help them. Every time. And most people never even knew about it unless you were going through it. She would use what she had gone through to try to be an encouragement to other people. And she realized that the psalmist realized that the God that formed him is the God that fashioned him. He was in charge. He could trust that God. He could cling to the commandments of God. And there would be other people who would need him and would be greatly encouraged when they see him. Why? Because he had trusted, put his confidence in the Word of God. And then you see how these hands in verse number 75 molded him. They molded him. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Now, if you just want to study affliction in this passage, that verse right there is an amazing verse. Not only was God good during the affliction, not only could he look back after it and say, you know what, it was good for me, but here he says that God was faithful and allowing the affliction to come into his life. Now, if you're like me, I scratched my head for a while at that. And then finally, God dawned on me what he's talking about here. And everybody look at me, because this is important. If God knew that we were astray, if God knew that we needed to grow in a certain area, if God knew that we were going to be needed to help others and in preparation for that, we needed to be molded, and God didn't allow things into our life to prepare us for that, he would be unfaithful and he would cease to be God. He would be unfaithful and be as a trustworthy God. So God sometimes, in his faithfulness, in being faithful to us, in being a perfect God, allows these things. He must let these things into our life because he's a faithful God. Now, that's one of the things that, you know, if you're like me, you have to wrap your mind around that for a while. But that's God being faithful. That we need that molding in our life. We need that. And God is a faithful God. So you see his hands and the Lord's hands. And then you see in verse 76 and 77, the Lord's heart. But remember what we're talking about. This is what got him through the affliction. The hand of God and the heart of God. Look at verse 76. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word and to thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. He looks to the mercy, the kindness, the comfort, the tender mercies of God. The compassion of God. In other words, in the middle of his trial, church, he ran to the arms of God and said, God, I know that you love me. I know that I'm not perfect. I know that I've gone astray. But I know that your mercy is real. And I know that you're a God of comfort. And I know that you will not forsake me. And he cried out to the heart of God, to who God is, and said, God, I know, as we end these verses, you're my delight. I can trust you in it. The Lord's heart, the Lord's hands, and in verse 78 to 80, he relied on the Lord's help. The Lord's help. For what? Well, in verse 78, to be strong in the fight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me, without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. There are enemies out there. And folks, we have enemies out there. Say, like who? Satan's as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Satan's not our friend, he's our enemy. The world is not our friend. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. The world's not our friend. There are enemies out there. There are those who are going to oppose what is right. And we can be, in the midst of that, strong in the fight. Remind us there in verse 7 and 8 that the proud, those that don't need God, those that know better than His Word, one day they will be ashamed. But those who will trust in the Word of God, the humble, the Bible says, will be exalted. So we can trust the Lord, be strong in the fight, and then in verse number 79, to be strengthened by fellowship. Now this is important. It says, let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Now remember what he's going through affliction. So he says, Lord, I need your help here. I need strength for this fight because there's enemies. And then see what he says second. I need other believers to stand by my side. And whether we realize it or not, folks, we need each other. Amen. We need each other to stand with each other, to stand by each other, to help one another, to pray for one another, to love one another, to bear each other's burdens. There's a big movement out there. You know, it says, well, you know, all you need, you know, and I'm all for, if you know me and listen to our messages, I'm all for family. I believe family is precious and we ought to raise our family for the Lord, but our families need church. There's a big movement out there, you know, it says, all you need is your home, you don't need to go to church. Well, that's a lie of the devil. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It is the church, not the family. It's the church that's the pillar and ground of truth. We need church. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for family. But we need church. That's why I don't make heroes out of people like the Duggars. They may have a good family, but they are greatly mistaken in not having a home church. And it's going to cost them. You mark my words. Because God's way is right. Amen. Amen. God's way is right. You know, we start thinking we don't need a church. We're in great error. Because it's a battle and we need each other. And look around. I encourage you. You find people who say they're saved, but boy, they just can't ever have victory. You know, one common denominator between those people is this. They're very unfaithful to God's house. Or if they are at God's house, they're sitting on the back row and are jetting out of here as soon as they can. They have no fellowship with believers. We need each other. We desperately need each other. God set it up that way. We need each other. That's what he saw in verse 79. Those that fear thee turn unto me. He said, God, I need people in my life to help me. People that know your word. People that know how to encourage. And in verse number 80, strong in the fight, the Lord's help, strengthen my fellowship. And in verse number 80, the last thing that gave him victory is this, be sound in the faith. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. And it comes full circle. If we're going to get through trials and be able to have our head up, not be ashamed, having given in, if we're going to be able to get through a trial and be able to say, you know what, it was good for me. God was faithful to me. Our God is good and everything He does is good. The only way we're going to get through that is be able to know this book and be sound in the faith to understand the truth of God's Word. That's what will get us through. That's what will give us victory. We're all going to go through afflictions. That's part of life. And here in this psalmist and what he shares is that even in the middle of these afflictions, God's good. And God has seen me through. You're like me. And I close with this. You're like me. when we go through trials, we try to figure it out, and we don't spend enough time letting God and His Word show us how to handle it. If you're going through that, stop and say, God, I don't understand what I'm going through, but I trust You, and I believe Your Word.